Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. We have a great show tonight planned for you, as well as a great guest on this March the 25th on the West Coast, or the Eastern time zone and Central time zone of the U.S. It's now March the 26th, and of course, east of the Eastern time zone as well, where our guest hails from. Actually, he's in the far reaches of Europe, we can say, and he is becoming a frequent guest on Evident Footprints. He was on the show last, I believe, March the 12th, if I'm not mistaken, and we were talking about his book, Fragments of Reality, Daily Entries of Lived Life, and today we're going to possibly talk about that a little bit, but we're going to get into some solution-oriented discussions involving the economy and sovereignty and liberating oneself, preparing for the changing times ahead. With that, I welcome back to Evident Footprints my very good friend, Mr. Pete Kayander. Pete, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Don.
I should say good morning to you.
Yeah, it's early morning.
Early morning there. Well, it's earlier morning here, if that's any consolation.
Yeah, that's true.
No, we had to get you awakened from probably some deep REM, and so you have to put on your thinking cap here. The last time you were on, we talked about a variety of topics, and I know that you and I had the opportunity off-air to discuss a little bit of what we were going to cover tonight, and there are so many directions this could go. It's a never-ending issue when you talk about, you know, our economy here in the United States or North America or the whole Western Hemisphere. And it's really not much different from what's going on in other parts of the world. We have stories of rampant political corruption and their cohorts in the banking industry. It's as though all the politics are being controlled by the banks. And so the corruption is overlooked. And people kind of feel helpless because they're watching money, which is amounting in the trillions of dollars, being thrown out like a tip to a parking valet, you know, or a striptease dancer. It's obscene what's going on. And we talked a little bit about what's going on in Europe and other parts that you're familiar with in terms of the economy. And I wonder, you know, has anything changed for the better, or do you see this rapid acceleration of really going down into the depths of depravity? What do you see?
Unfortunately, I do not see that it's getting better. I think it's getting worse, and the reasons are exactly the same what has been the reasons in the past, and at least in the last 100 years, there's been two similar occasions, and we repeating the same things again. First of all, the same thing happened in the Great Depression in the U.S. in the 30s, and in another part of the world, in Japan, a bit later on in the 90s. And if we look what happened, well, Japan is still in the slump, and they've been like 20 years in there. And the reason for this is that in each of those occasions, the government has been trying to do something and make it better, and they've been massively trying to stimulate the economy and sort of find their way out of it by the artificial means. And unfortunately, only thing what it does is it actually prolongs and make it deeper and more consistent. So in that sense, I think we are even worse positioned than those two occasions before. Japan is a bit different case than what is happening now in the U.S. Japan had a large savings, and it has a very productive and large manufacturing economy, and this is not the case with the U.S. So this way, I think it will be quite a steep ride we're going through, and for this perspective, I don't see much of a release. And as a matter of fact, before the radio show this morning, I was just reading that, for example, Ron Wall has been saying that it's going to take like 15 years. So that's quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. So here we have this 100-year war on terror that they decreed in 2001, actually it was even planned before that, but, and of course I'm being facetious, that's their terminology. They say the war on terror is going to be 100 years. We're hearing the economy is going to take 15 years to fix. So that's going to take us up to the year 2023, basically, maybe 2024. I can't see it weathering this corruption that's going on. I mean, they're telling the people one thing, but they're doing another. And it's been that way for a long time. So if we were to step outside of the matrix, or outside the box, so to speak, and you like to use the term monkey mind, if we get out of the monkey mind and look at what's really going on, describe what you see. In terms of this corruption, and where we should how we should be perceiving it.
Well, I don't think anything has changed. There's always been corruption. There are pretty much two types of situations, and they are just changing a bit. You know, which one is in the lead, and these situations are like that. Either you have to honestly earn your living, so you have to work, and you have to put an effort on what you're doing, and it's hard work, and you prefer that if another option is not available, or is too cumbersome, or it has too dire consequences for you, and there's another one is that you actually take something already produced, meaning you're actually stealing.
Yeah.
And these are the two, pretty much two options, you know, how things are done. And for the time being, I think now we've been in the times where the political means, which is the latter one, have taken over the economic means, which is the one where you have to work. And this is quite obvious. It's easy to do this. We are a monetary system which is based on pretty much inflation and the fractional reserve banking. And also, if you look at the amount of power and spending and purchasing and other means of power in the economy, that the governmental and the public functions are taking over the private economy, and this means that it's quite a hard to earn your living nowadays if you want to do it in an honest way. There's a lot of rules and regulations, and your money is taken away from you in many means. So in this way, it's no wonder that people are actually getting frustrated, and it's not nice to see that your money, which you have no control at all, is given to some people who have been doing a bit dubious, or just some wonders which do not seem to like to be like honest deals. So maybe the situation looks now more, it's more in the face, it's more blunt. So that's one way to see. What will happen next is that, I think we're gonna move away from this situation. And you know, it's so obvious now that you know something people will not take it for granted, and there will be stop for this phenomena. But when and how it will happen, I think is still to be seen. So hopefully in the future time we will be in a situation where honest work and savings and due diligence are appreciated, but it's really up to us and whether we're gonna repeat the mistakes we've been doing in the past.
There's normally, you know, in speaking of metaphysics, there is an understood connection. It's hidden from the average individual, but there is a connection between that which transcends this third dimensional reality, and let's say, you know, we refer to that usually as the spirit world because we don't see those things, or some of us do. It's just that convincing the others is a big job. It's enough to get them to see the reality of what's actually occurring here, you know, in this three-dimensional world, in this materialistic society. And the way I see the game being played, and it has been for some time, it's just gotten way, way out of balance, way out of hand, to where people are getting rich. A small group of people are getting rich at the expense of everyone else. And it's in, let's say, very profound, what's the word I'm looking for? Let's say it's contrary to the laws of the universe, and yet it's occurring. So there must be some aspect of that reality that permits it to go on. And if we are to extricate ourselves, we have to rise above that vibration or rise above that frequency and take responsibility. And responsibility in the normal sense is usually used as the word blame. You know, something happened. Who's responsible for that? In other words, who did it? And yet responsibility in the sense that we're hopefully going to explore a little bit is coming to the realization that no one is going to do it for you. No one is going to save you. No one is going to give you everything. The governments have been basically offering little tidbits, little enticements, like doggy treats in a way, to the masses, and people expect the government to provide, when in reality we are our own providers, are we not?
Yes, that's correct. Government cannot produce anything. It only can take from other people and give it to some other people. So in this way, nothing has changed. But we are like children in a way that, you know, we may not believe on the Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely do believe that the government can bend the laws of the, you know, the nature. It can make the economy go well, and it can provide us stuff, you know, and can provide us with the free credit, and it can provide us with a lot of things. We just, you know, send our wishes to the politicians, and you know, wow, things start to happen. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not the reality. The thing is that the society nowadays is just so big that it takes a bit more time to get the effects, but it doesn't really matter whether we're talking about 300 million people or we're talking about 3 million households. The basic principles are the same.
Yes.
So if you don't have any savings in the household, you know, you cannot invest, and if you don't have any money, you cannot buy anything. So you have to start to sell your assets, and all these things are, you know, they apply to the economy altogether as well. So if the economy doesn't have any, in other words, the society, the individuals do not have savings, or they do not have anything productive they can sell to other people, or then they have to sell assets, and that's a downward path in a way, that you can only sell so much and for so long time.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we call this a game, or we call it a script that's being followed. There's obviously an end in sight. And, you know, if we go back into the history of America, there was a time when we had forced slavery on people that were imported from other parts of the world. And mostly those were the black people from Africa. And those people were enslaved. And now those people feel, because they have someone who I describe as a usurper, someone who has actually no authority to be the leader of a nation that he does not belong to and has not been able to prove that he belongs to this nation. These people now feel like they have someone who represents them. And he is as equally involved in the corruption in the financial arena as three administrations prior to him. So we are in our fourth straight administration of corruption, and I mean, like, you cannot imagine. I know you're aware of what's going on and the illusion that's been created. They have basically robbed all of the resources of the nation throughout these four administrations, and we're only 2 months into the fourth administration, and as much or more of this robbery has occurred in that 2 months than all the years prior to that. And they're all still involved equally. They're all pulling the same strings. And it, of course, it ties into things on an international scale. Now, what's happening, is people are shouldered with the responsibility. In other words, they make the bets with our money. They make the money, they steal the money, and then when they lose or when something happens where it doesn't work out as they planned, we have to pay the bill for this, okay? This is not something that anyone would consciously choose to do, I think, in a spiritual context, to come to the earth, to live a life in a physical body and endure this kind of corruption. We may on some level have agreed to play a role in the undoing of it. But certainly we wouldn't come here knowing that this was going to occur on some level. And I think, on a metaphysical level, every person on the planet knows this is going on. But we have this tremendous sense of denial that it's happening. In other words, people don't want to talk about it. They've determined that they would rather be entertained by meaningless things. And they've been conditioned and educated and propagandized to be in that state of mind. And yet there are those of us, like me, like you, Michael St. Clair, many people in the Patriot Movement, many people who are looking at the bigger picture, that know that this is a one-way street, and it's leading to, as you said, the potential end of humanity on this planet. Now, we'll end up going somewhere else and having to relearn these lessons all over again, but there's the opportunity to get it right this time. And one has to step outside the box and see what's really going on and admit that it's going on. That's part of taking responsibility, I feel. And many of my other guests on the show feel the same way, that we can't pretend as if this isn't happening. That we must be able to address it and start creating some solutions. Now, all of that said, I want to leave it open to you to be able to comment on what I just said, whether you agree or disagree or add something to it. But I'd like to move in the direction of how we can replace this economy, because this is a fiat money system that we have. And I don't think it's any different in Europe than it is here in the States. They call the money different by different names, but it does the same thing. And the thievery is the same. Looking at alternative ways of existing, because people are going to be at a point where this money is of no use anyway. It's all an illusion. So what would you propose, after you comment a little bit on what I said, what would you propose as a solution?
Yeah, we have to start to look life a bit differently and really see what is working, and the first step is obviously to acknowledge and accept what we have at this point. If we are already in denial, then it's quite difficult to do any changes. And what comes to the economy and the financial field, I think what we need to accept, if we look in the past to the history, that things are not certainly working in a way if you're using a fiat system where some people are in control of the money and they, at their will, they can create more money and you, to spend it and use it the way they like it, and the rest of the people are then picking up the tab. They're doing it at the expense of others. One very easy way to do this is to do the same what happened with the religion. You know, you take it out of the state. So you separate the economy, the money-making powers from the government. You take them away. And this makes it very easy to control the government as well, because they have to get the money and ask for the money. They cannot produce the money at will anymore. So mainly it means that if the government needs money, it will actually needs to tax it from the people. So they cannot produce it anymore by inflation or by any other means. So we should actually go back to the 100% reserve banking and most likely to the gold, precious metals like gold or silver, because these are very hard to counterfeit and you cannot just increase the amount of the money stock by twill or just the stroke of a pen or just a few taps in the computer like it's nowadays done. So these are, I think, one of the crucial steps in a way to become more honest and becoming more responsible. And this is very welcome for all those people who are really working and saving and putting an effort what they're doing. And so there's nothing for these people to lose in a way. It is only for the people who are being actually living out of the system. This sounds very bad. And in that way, actually, you could come back to the times when, for example, when you were saving, your purchasing power for your savings along your years to come, you know, when you in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years later, your monetary unit will buy more, not less, of goods and services. And this reality we actually could experience. So the expansionary boom and expansionary growth and all these things are not necessary. They are just something which come along with the, they are the necessities of the current system, but it's not the only way to do things. And this is just the monetary field, but there's obviously a lot of other things we could also change. But it's rather amazing to realize that a lot of the things we see and which we think do not actually work at this point in time can be traced back to the monetary system and to the inflation. This goes all the way to the way our families and the foundations of the families are being degrading and why a lot of the goods we're buying are of low quality and why the moral is also going down and why people are not saving anymore, they are spending and consuming and going to debt and why it's ever more harder to earn the living. Only one parent is not good enough anymore. You need both of them to work to survive and supply and so these are just a few of the things but all together I think we have to really start to look the way of living, and if we want to really take the responsibility and not just blame for others or expect the Santa Claus or government or someone else to provide for us at the expense of others, then we can also start, we have to necessarily also talk about freedom, because the freedom is another side of the coin with the responsibility. And more freedom we have, the more we also have responsibility. But, you know, this is a great thing, since we are all here together, we are dependent on each other, the society depends on each other. You know, we are not an island, you know, we need each other in order to survive. We need each other's expertise and the work and the skills and knowledge to live. And this is a great thing, since if we realize that, you know, we are a community, we need each other, and we do it together, and we don't need anyone, any third party, which is empowering. And this is the way, actually, for new growth and new realizations for people. But, you know, we've been so isolated and so distant from the basics of living that it takes some time to understand and get a better view for the things. And obviously, we are so close now to the current way of living, and in this way, looking back to the history is also a very, very good way to get a bit more perspective. And so I think this is quite a complex issue, but you know, in a sense, it's very easy issue. You know, it's always coming back to the ethics and fundamentals and the morality, freedom and responsibility. And you know, if there's no freedom, there's no responsibility either. You're not in control of your things. You just have to accept what other people are telling you to do. So you start to feel very uncertain and frustrated. So I think these are very fundamental things which we have to look at and be honest and ask what we want and how we want to live.
Yes, I agree with you. What comes to mind while you're describing this is, you know, I think of when I was a very young boy and I had decided at a very early age that I was going to be a musician. That's what I came here to be. So I would presume that that was the moment where that consciousness came through, that that's what I had predetermined I would be in this life. And I still am that, although I do other things as well. I've expanded beyond that. And I know many in the listening audience can think back to when they were young, when they first decided what they wanted, were going to be as a person following a particular interest, a particular vocation that was going to be their means for earning a living. Now, no one told me what my options were. I made that choice myself, and it's been a good choice. It's been the appropriate choice for me. I couldn't see myself in my relationship with music to be anything other than a musician, and yet I am doing other things because that has given me certain abilities to see beyond what music can do or beyond the script that's played out here, because it's designed to make everyone subservient. It's designed to separate us from the creation. And in the process of doing that, it's shut off our creativity. And so people look at exercising their creativity as a big challenge, something that they feel now, because they've lived so much of their life, it's too late to do something about it, or it's not something that they even want to mess with. They're tired. They're discouraged. They've lost faith in the promise of a rich life and a fulfilling kind of life. And one of the things that's most lacking in most people's lives is love. You know, the mutual respect of each other and in the recognition of each other's sovereignty. There is a way for us to get along and for us to co-create together. And that's the thing that is, I think, holding people back, is that they keep forgetting, or they never really learned that they can create their reality, that it doesn't have to be created for them, that they don't have to follow blindly or dumbly the reality that's being created for them. That's really where responsibility comes in. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, love is quite an interesting topic, and I think we also mentioned in the first show we did together. And love is something which is also sort of corrupted in our society and the way we live nowadays. Just listen to the love songs. Do they talk about love? Or what is the love they talk about? It's me, myself, and I. It's what I want. It's what I need. And what I see in the other person. And, you know, I don't want another person to change and blah, blah. So unconditional love is completely different thing. It's a completely different matter. It is something which is one way in a way. You don't expect anything back.
Mm-hmm.
You do it for without wanting something or without any conditional situations. So it's completely different thing. And this is something, you know, unconditional love and the traditional love how we see is, so I think they're almost like the opposites. And I think this is also related to the creativity. When you're in a good mood, when you're in a happy, you feel like more like the unconditional love. You can smile to the strangers in the street, and you can do things, you know, which you cannot even imagine doing when you're in a bad or, you know, in the lousy mood. So creativity is also something which requires freedom. It can only happen when you're in a situation which allows space and you can think freely and have sort of a latitude to do things. And if we are forced to do things or we are under stress or there's a lot of distractions in the life, then it's hard to be creative. Mm-hmm. If it's not just out of the necessity of, you know, you have to invent something to survive, but. Yeah, I think if you look to life nowadays, it seems to be that not so many people are in this creative mode. It's more like that you go in the coping mode, you're struggling with your life. But many times, you know, we don't have to blame anyone else. It doesn't have to be a government, it doesn't have to be any of these external bodies or parties. It's just mainly us. Who's been buying the house? Who is being using credit? Who is the one who pick and choose the job? Who is the one who pick and choose the partner? You know, who is the one who is eating that way, and who is not exercising? You know, a lot of these things, you know, are just pointing exactly back to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we can make the change, and we can change things, and we are in control of a lot of things, and just by taking a different perspective for things, you know, you can make a tremendous change since and get a improve your quality of living, and it's always available for us, you know, it's in every moment.
Yes, things are always changing, aren't they? I mean, it's not like, well, if we don't say, well, we're going to change, you know, it's like a particular political candidate's mantra during his campaign. Change you can believe in. No, it's nothing of the sort. That was just a lie that was told to hoodwink people into accepting the next phase of the fairy tale, the next phase of the script, which has other intentions. And we're rising above that now. We're going beyond that, and we're looking at, okay, and I've used this statement before, if you know, this is about a big power grab. If you take all the money off the table and no one has any money, what will you do to survive? How will you go about surviving? Literally, that's the type of decision that we have to make. Do you agree with that?
Yes, that goes back to the basics. And good news is that you cannot eat money. Money is only facilitating the exchange of goods and services, so we don't necessarily need money. We can just exchange these things directly, you know, for other things. So instead of looking at money, you have to look what is it that you can provide for the society. What is something that someone else needs? What are those type of things you can do? Are you good at baking? Or are you good with your hands? You can build something, you know, furniture, whatever. Or are you good with computers? Can you teach someone to sing? Or what are those things that other people find valuable? And typically, if the private market is let to do its go on its own way, then people start to use something as a money, and they tend to settle with the precious metals, for the reason that, well, there are many reasons for that one, but typically they will find some kind of money. And depending on the circumstances and situations, whether it's more perishable or not is another case. For example, in some time in history and some circumstances, cigarettes has been used as money, or it can be basically whatever which is scarce and at hand. But typically it is the gold and silver which are used as money. And the reason for using the money is that because it makes my life more easier. You don't have to find another person whose requirements and needs are exactly the ones you can provide him or her with, and vice versa. So this way, yes, if you wanna sort of prepare for the life after using money, well, that's one thing. But you know, it's also good to understand that we haven't found anything better than money. But the way what we consider as money is not sort of the way money needs to be. So don't throw the money away just because it's been corrupted at this point in time. Just adjust a bit the perspective for the money and put the honesty back to the money as well. And this will change a lot of things for us as well. So it's also one thing just to give an idea that, you know, central banks, for example, are not needed. There were no central banks in the Western world a few hundred years back. Obviously there were a few of them, you know, starting to appear, but, you know, I think the first one was actually really in Sweden, and the next one was in England in the 17th century, if I remember correctly. But those are not needed. The money can be also in the private hands. And for example, in Europe, we had a international or global or just a nationwide or the continental-wide currency, and that was gold and silver. They had a different, they were coined differently. There were different kings or whoever was in the rule in the face of the coins. But at the end of the day, it didn't really matter what it say in the coin because it was the weight. It was the amount of gold which actually mattered and how the trade was done. So we don't need any of these sort of intergovernmental organizations to arrange us things. It's not necessary. It's only something which has been happening for the past 150, 200 years, and mainly to gather the power from people and put it to some other use and for some other people. So in this way, there's a lot of alternatives and opportunities, and pretty much we just have to look back, you know, because things has been done before. There's not that much new what we're experiencing now. We're just repeating the same cycle again and repeating the same mistakes, maybe more in a grander scale now, but we're still doing the same things.
Yeah, they had similar circumstances even in the days of Atlantis. They had basically an aspect of the masses that was considered to be lower, on a lower tier than the elite. And the elite pulled the strings and they basically destroyed the civilization with their technology and their warfare and that. And this plays itself out every time. Now, the reason I brought up the point of taking the money off the table, Where is the power when you do that? If you didn't have a monetary system, how would anyone survive? How would you look at your opportunity? You're on an equal footing now with all those that have controlled society, and that whole illusion disappears immediately. So our dependency on what I would say is a belief system that you have to have money to be successful, or you have to have money to do these things, is the first thing that we have to change. We have to be able to extricate ourselves from that belief, because it's all based on illusion. This money is created out of thin air. I'm not talking about the gold or the silver, but the fiat currencies, the paper money. They put a number on the same piece of paper. They use the same ink. It's just that the number has a zero or a couple of zeros or a few more zeros on it, and it it's valued at something more. But intrinsically, it's no more valuable than a piece of toilet paper. Bathroom tissue, as some prefer to call it. So that shows how ingrained we are into the system. And yet, if you take the money off the table, how will you survive? Each person has to ask themselves that question. What will they create as a means of getting or acquiring food? Maybe they grow food already. Well, they're trying to outlaw that because they know full well that that would be a fundamental purpose of a bartering system. And if you're going to try to enslave a whole planet completely, I'm not talking about to the extent we are right now, but their intention is to follow through with this all the way. There is going to be a lot of problems, which they know as well, if we allow this to happen or if we buy into that. So the person that's looking to extricate themselves from that belief has to be willing to look within themselves and honestly answer those questions. Where would I go? What would I do? How would I do it? Who would I look for? How would I go about existing, really? And not be concerned about going back into the matrix. The idea is to move out of it, isn't it?
Yeah, if you want to live creatively, you know, you have creativity in your life, it means that you're not repeating patterns, you're not repeating the models, you know, and just copy-pasting what other people are doing. And one kind of fundamental question I was actually asking and talking about it in the last weekend was that what is important? What is really important? And this is not just a quick question or shallow question. It's a very fundamental question asking what is it that what you really want? What are those things which are so important to you that you maybe what is the most important thing for you? You would actually just give away at as a final thing if you have to. For example, what are those things you love the most? You could even pay other people just for letting you to do what you're doing. And by asking this question, you can maybe find some new alternative ways of seeing your life. And for example, just a quick example that. For example, if you make a lot of money at this point, but you're also spending a lot of money, and your lifestyle is dependent on that you're getting a lot of money, and because you're doing these things, you have to work like 12, 14 hours a day, and you barely have a holiday, and in other words, you're spending a lot of money in order to have a great lifestyle, but as a matter of fact, your quality of living from the perspective how much you can enjoy from the money is quite a poor. You don't have the time off. You cannot relax to go to sailing for 2 months and do these kind of things. You have to earn the money and keep up with your lifestyle. So a lot of the things we're doing are we just take it for granted. But you know it's not the only way to live. And certainly just consuming a lot and being in the mode of following the other guys, and it may not actually make sense if you stop for a while. Unless you stop, you know, it might be that you don't see it, but when you stop, it can be that you can actually start to ask what is important. If you're living in some nice place, sun is shining and it's comfortably warm and you know, you don't need that much. You don't need the fancy suit, you don't need the fancy shoes, you don't need the fancy car. You can have, you know, the crappy old car, and, you know, it will take you to the beach, and you can run or walk in the beach, and you can just, you know, enjoy little things which are, you know, typically many times they are free. You know, you see sun setting up or sun going up and so on and so forth. So, in this way, you know, it can also be these small or big realizations which can change our life as well. It's just a matter how we value things and what we consider as important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got a caller on the line here, which is unique for your show. I'm going to ask our caller to hold on a moment here. I want to add something to to what you just said, or hopefully provoke, you know, another response. You're hitting all these points right on the head, and you know, we have this compulsion to acquire material objects, and they're not, for the most part, necessary for our survival. When we think about our needs and what they will be, we're talking about water and food and some energy or power source that we can maintain some level of technology or alternative power sources and alternative technologies that are going to be more in sync with the rest of the universe. We have been acclimated to some really primitive types of of power systems on this planet. And, you know, electricity is a wonderful thing, but the manner in which electricity is produced is so unnatural and so contrary to the laws of nature that it's dangerous. And many people have lost their lives in the process of acquiring those elements that are used to produce power. And then people look at all the things that really are meaningless when you're just trying to survive, when you're just trying to make sure that you and your family have food and water, and you have a place where you can sleep, where you're out of the elements. Those are the necessities of life at that point. Now, if you're going to do some trade, of course, you have to have tools of that trade, and you have to have a place to do that work, whether that's going to be where you live or outside or wherever. Right? People really have to look at this realistically, because there are right now people being thrown out of their houses because of this corruption, living in tent cities, and some of those people don't even have tents. They're sleeping out in the open land. So it becomes really something to consider. Not to cower in fear, not to worry about what will I do if I get sick. You know, they're promising people health care as part of political movements, universal health care for everyone in the country. Well, that money has to come from somewhere, and they don't promote health, you know, so no one needs health care. They promote the after effect. The means through which these corporations earn more profit and exercise more power over the people. So we have to get completely out of this mindset of perpetual illness and disease and this idea that somehow we, you know, we're not qualified to do these things. I'm amazed when I talk to people who don't know how to grow vegetables. I'm really amazed. And I guess some people are just so apathetic and ignorant of those things. It's nature. It's understanding how creation works and how nature takes care of itself. It's pretty simple to grow fruits and vegetables, things that you can eat that will keep you alive. And yet people just shudder in fear the moment they hear that they there's not going to be food in the stores. There can come a time in a matter of days there's no food on the shelves. That's the point where someone is going to have to take responsibility. No one is going to do it for them. And so I wanted to stress that point that there, you know, this thing about responsibility and the options that we have and the creativity and all that, there were some really simple solutions that people can learn in a very short amount of time. It's a very simple thing to do. They can do it in a couple of hours, and over a period of a couple of months, they can grow food. Now, they're trying to put a stop to that over here. They're trying to tell us that they want to protect us from poisoning ourselves, when the very companies that produce the food are doing just that, selling us toxic goods. And the medicines are toxic. And the economy is toxic. I mean, there's nothing, even religion is toxic. You know, the education is toxic. Everything is toxic. Why would anyone want to hold on to that? And yet those very people that are frightened of leaving that are totally unaware of how much they're being controlled, you know. And I know you probably see those people falling by the wayside at some point, don't you?
Yeah. Sounds like there's a complete detox needed and rehab. So this is definitely something I think which is quite obvious that, like you mentioned, that it's pretty much that where you focus, it will grow. So if you focus on sickness, it will grow. If you give benefits, you know, more people are actually starting to use and get those benefits. So this is the way the system works. And if we want to be more self-sufficient, and we want to actually take more control into our own hands in our lives, it means that we have to take action. We have to start to grow vegetables and start to do more of these things. And it doesn't have to be dull, it doesn't have to be hard, but it can be also fun. Just while you can, you know, just enjoy and experiment and be creative in this sense. And then you get an idea and feel how things work. And you never know, you may find a new inspiration and you know, maybe even your new career by doing these mm-hmm. things.
Exactly. Well, shall we take this call?
Absolutely.
Okay, we have Christopher in Canada. Christopher, welcome to Evident Footprints. You have a question or comment for Pete Kayander? Well, do we still have our caller? Christopher, are you there?
I am here.
Hello. Yes, hello. We can now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, you and Peter, for a very interesting show and I just wanted to comment a few things here. In a way, it strikes me that there's an elephant in the room that you talk about. But in a way, it's like, how can we think of how to manage into the future and how to survive and such? We have to deal with this elephant in the room. And in a way, see, in the United States, you have anti-terrorist legislation which allows you to seize the assets of anyone involved in terrorist activities. And we mm-hmm. know now who the terrorists really are. Okay, we mm-hmm. know now who they are. They weren't Osama bin Laden and his reindeer. Okay, we know who they are. You know, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, these bankers, these people are the terrorists. Okay, the people spraying with you with chemtrails are terrorists. The people who are trying to prevent you from growing gardens are terrorists. People need to wake up and then to realize that the assets of all of these people involved in these things can be seized by the country of the United States because they're all complicit in this terrorist scheme. All the evidences are there. All you have to do is reestablish and enforce the laws of the United States. You would take back such wealth from these terrorists, you would pay off the national debt of the United States in a year. You think of the Rothschilds, they're estimated to have a wealth of $500 trillion. Now, the debt of the United States is only about $10 trillion. See, there's no way, there is no future. I mean, we can think of how are we going to survive and how much money have I put away and how much gold and how much food. But in a way, there's an elephant in the room. We have to deal with this elephant. We need our military and our police and our intelligence services. We need some men and women to stand forth and to abide by the oaths of their office and the Constitution and what they know in their hearts are right, and to stand forth and start to imprison these people. And then you have lots of good FEMA camps for them through the states where they can be put until there's 9/11 truth hearings and these people come forth and speak the truth, then they might be released. And you would have a whole new age in the United States as you would around the world.
Yes, that's a possibility, although this has to be carried out on a worldwide scale. This has to be done with the corrupt people in Germany or the corrupt people in England or France or Spain or Italy or China or Russia, any of the other countries where this is going on.
Absolutely, I agree. Like I'm in Canada. I'm in the Canadian Action Party. I'm the justice critic, and this is what I'm proposing as one of our policies. That all these people in Canada, I'm proposing that Montebello Resort Center, where the Harper, Bush, and Calderon met for their SPP conference, I want to turn it into the Montebello Hospital for the Criminally Insane. And I want to see our government in there with some of their Zionist corporate fascist friends. This is what we need. We can't, there is no future. People talk about how are we going to survive? How are we going to survive? There's no survival unless we take our countries back. You know, it's just a matter of time. You'll get your enforced inoculations and you'll be sterilized. And there's no future for your children or your grandchildren or for America. We all need to take our countries back. And I propose that all the countries of their world have their national debts reduced to zero by the year 2012.
Yeah,
and any country in the world, say you have Exxon and Exxon has some facilities in Nigeria or wherever. Well, all these companies who've been part of the terrorist regime, they lose all their resources in all the countries of the world. So whoever is in Nigeria, they own all their own properties and resources of their country.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like a new start for every country in the world. And I think you talk about envisioning something and making that a reality. See, I think people need a vision of what could be done if we could ever restore justice to our nations.
Yes, I agree. I want to give Peter a chance to respond to this. Let me add one thing here, Christopher, and that's that the national debt is not $10 trillion. That's what they spent in the last week or so. It's more like 1.2 quadrillion. Okay, 1,000 trillion, 1,200 trillion is more like the amount. And most of this is on bogus paper. So they've had to give up real estate, which is the cause for the mortgage crisis. It has nothing to do with people that couldn't pay for their homes. They've always had that problem, and they've always been able to keep the market afloat, even increase the value of real estate in the process. Peter, this is Dr. Christopher
Don,
Holmes,
just
by the way.
To respond to one thing Don was saying, well, Don, see, the debt is owed to these people who are the terrorists. So you arrest terrorists, no matter what the amount is, your
yes.
debt's eliminated, because they're the ones it's owed to. And they're all complicit in mass murdering Americans, Afghanis, Iraqis. They mass murder people around the
yes.
world. They're spreading poison all through your country. These people, you couldn't list their crimes. They're so extensive.
I agree. Can Peter respond?
Sorry, yes.
No, that's okay. Go ahead. Peter.
Yeah, hello, Christoph. Yeah, it's a good question. And I think there's an elephant, and it's obvious it's so big already, and it's pink, that, you know, something has to be done about it. And I think you're right about it also, that people need a vision for the future. And still, I think the responsibility is with each and every person, and the way we can do is that we have to be practical examples. And the easiest way is that you start with yourself. You start to take responsibility of your life. You take the money out of the Citicorp. You take the money out of those, you know, big corporations, and you start to do things differently. And in this way, so other people, how there are other ways of doing things. Not everybody is so creative and can do those things. And I think by starting sort of this type of new movement, it will spread out to the different fields of society and going also to the military functions, to the police and to the justice system, and how we can fundamentally change the system means that a lot of people need to be involved. And it means that, you know, we have to not deny anymore. We have to acknowledge and accept what is in the place and start to do action. But there are a few ways, I think, to accomplish this. One of them is that the system completely, you know, just goes down. The monetary system, or whichever means, and which means that, you know, it's good news and bad news. The good news is that you can start again, you know, build something better. And the bad news is obviously, you know, people will get hurt a bit in the process, and it will be painful. That's one way to do it. And personally, I believe on the individual action. because the individual action is something which empowers you. And I also, I'm not a big believer in going against something. I believe on finding a third way, meaning that you start to do something which is working. So this way, I think we are living in a very interesting times, and but nevertheless, we have to do the work. There's no one else to do it. Focusing only on the and looking, you know, what's happening in the political arena and these type of things, that's something which I don't think, well, it's important to acknowledge things, but just to focusing on those and not doing your own bit is something which is also can distract you from your own action.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we need to do both. I mean, we do, as you say, we need to be responsible. We need to be eating, trying to eat properly and learning to garden and preparing for these terrible things which are imminent upon us.
Yes.
You know, as they try to move their martial law fascist nightmare ahead. I mean,
yes.
We've got countries run by a group of psychopathic elites. They're pedophiles, perverts, and psychopaths, the three P's of political life.
I'm sorry. I was going to say they call themselves elites, but what is that? What does that mean? Is that because they're corrupt that they get this designation? And I think, you know, this is their system that they have created, and I certainly don't want to take their system from them. If I have a choice, I'll put a stop to their system and create a new system, one that's based on integrity and righteousness and love and insight and awareness that deals with problems. Before they become problems, they're avoided by the proper creation of a new reality. I'm in agreement with you that these people need to be put in their concentration camps themselves.
Yeah.
For sure. There's no doubt about that.
You can put all the Monsanto's people in one FEMA camp, and all they can eat is Monsanto's GE foods. And you can put all the Merck and the pharmaceutical company employees in another, and they can all get their inoculations. And you can put the others who want RFID chips in people, you put them in another FEMA camp. You put all your media personnel who've lied to the American public for 50 years, you put them in the FEMA camp, and you play to them their news clips from over and over again. And they need, this is like karma, they need to face their own, create their own hell for them, like give them what they would have done to other people.
Yeah, I agree.
I think people need to have a vision of like, what if there was justice? And then these people have to come before 9/11 truth hearings and truth hearings. And as they do that, then they're released. And see, so many people get caught up in this and they had no idea what they were really part of. So, you know, we don't want violence and hanging and things like that. That's the worst. That's the old world psychiatric order over again. We need truth hearings, and these people need to be treated humanely. We really do, and give them a chance to save their own souls, because these people their souls have become possessed by demons and Satan and such. This really happens as a phenomena. And those people out there, you talk about love, and that is just so important, this love and people finding, getting back to their hearts and having compassion for people and learning to grow in our love and then to have courage through that awakening of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like your ideas, and they make sense. It shows that you've been thinking about this, and you're not just reacting out of emotion. In my research in who these people are, I felt it was important to understand and to communicate that to my fellow man, who these people really are. Once you know who they are, then it becomes quite clear what they are doing. And then you study how they're doing it. And then you put a stop to it. And that's one part of where we are. But at the same time, and this is Peter's message, is that we have to expand outside of that realm or that matrix that they've created for us, because it's limited our faith, it's limited our courage, it's limited our creativity, and we haven't been able to experience love. You know, that's the highest essence of the creation is love, and it's the least of anything that's down here on this planet. Anybody want to comment? Either one of you.
I think these elites see there's something fundamentally evil in their hearts, in a way that, see, they have no compassion for other people, no genuine feeling. In a way, they're empty inside. I believe they become possessed, as I've said. People sell their souls, and that's what's happened to these people. And they've held us back in every department of our lives. And in a way, I think the American system is fine. If people had ever had a chance, you got a great constitution, this huge amount of wealth, you just don't enforce your laws. You're a completely criminal society. I mean, America's been a terrorist organization for 100 years with the wars, and you murdered millions in Vietnam, you murdered them in Cambodia, Iran, Central America. You go around the world murdering people. You got assassination squads, and then you call Hamas, illegally elected government, they call them terrorists. Like, it's such a farce. People have, their minds are so conditioned by the media.
Well, this is not just going on here in America, Christopher. You know full well that there are other governments in the world. You mentioned these elites. Where do they come from originally?
Oh, these are the England. Oh, no, it's definitely not only in America. You know, America just came to assume a certain role, and a lot of the world's hope was pinned on America. A lot of people, at one point, people around the world loved America and looked to America to help us go into a real future. Like, it just somehow became so more and more corrupted over time. So we all have to take back our countries. And as you say, it's not just America.
Yes.
I'll let you go. Thanks for letting me contribute.
Thanks for your input. Good to hearing from you.
Goodbye.
Okay. Yeah, Peter, you want to comment on that? It's many countries. And I was on Christopher's show. He has a show on BBS Radio on Saturdays, and I was on his show this past weekend, and I was talking about the British-Israeli system, but it's many things. It's not just that. It's the secret societies that work, behind the scenes with these political machines and with the banks and with these corporations, and it's, they made this their little playground, and you have to ask yourself, at what point does greed stop? You know, is there a beginning and an ending to it? Where does it stop?
Well, it stops where we do not allow it to go any further. Meaning that, it's like that, it's there's no them, there's only us, like I tend to say. And it's the same thing, if you allow, it's okay, people can ask, but if you don't provide with them, that's another thing. So it is the same with the society as well. If you allow people to run havoc and do things like that, then they obviously will do. So there's we have to, say no more. We had enough, and the society is only as good as it is individuals. And unfortunately, how we look at the world today, it seems that, we haven't done our job very well. We could elect different kind of people there, but on the other hand, we are also a bit schizophrenic in a way that, on the other hand, we say that, we should be righteousness and we have to be, that there should be strict moral and this kind of thing. But on the other hand, we would love to get the Santa Clauses and presents. We want to have, cheap credit. We want to have a lot of these things. Even though, when in the back of our mind, we may know and understand at some level that, there's no such a thing as a free lunches. But on the certain circumstances, we just, ignore those things. So taking responsibility in 360 degrees means that we really have to start to look at things and really have to start to look in the mirror as well and say that, you know, am I doing all I can to be, or, you know, the person I want to be and be a practical example for others. So, for example, that, you know, if you really want to live an ethical life, and you don't want to steal, you don't want to, you know, do any of those things which you disapprove and don't regard as a good life, then stop doing it. That also on the society level.
Mm-hmm.
It, not just in your personal life that you don't steal from other people, but, you know, if for example, taxation is stealing and this is the path, you know, which is quite a hard for people to take, you know, since the government and the public services are so around us, we are so dependent on them. But, you know, this is what it means, that we have to start to act in different manner and start to take in things on our hands in a way that we are more empowered and we support the society and not actually drain it from the resources.
Yeah. We're coming up on our closing moments here. When I look at the economic problems around the world, and you know, corruption aside, it's been construed to be just an endless stream of reasons why we have to give up our productivity. And in a true society where creation is allowed to be itself and honor itself, we wouldn't need any laws. It wouldn't require any laws to work. I mean, look at the creation. There are physical laws that there are spiritual laws that govern the planets and the stars and the space itself. And the way it's created, it doesn't need man's decisions to allow it to go on existing. Yet man can interfere with it. Man can do things to be destructive to it. And a perfect example is what's going on in this earth. The earth is coming to a place. I see this. I sense this. I see it in the earth. I see the patterns showing themselves in nature on many levels. The disappearance of species, or the increase in certain pestilent types of species. The intentional abuse of nature, and the pollution of the water and the land, and the raping of the land of its resources, the poisoning of the air, like Christopher was mentioning, you know, the chemtrails and all the things that interfere with nature. And you're not talking about people that know how to create. They're trying to play God. Like he said, they're pathological. But they're the antithesis of the creation. And that can only be destruction. So we're talking about undoing this and creating something positive, getting it back on track. Otherwise, this is going to be the end of life here on Earth. And though we're all at some point going to die, the question is, how are we going to face the responsibility of what we did and did not do? Because in not doing, we're also doing. We're doing nothing. and so you know, we're trapped in the karma of our experience here and our role in that sense. What would you leave our listening audience with in terms of something inspirational and solution based? And this whole show has been filled with that, but you know, in light of the fact that we have to end the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, something which is quite hard is also to forgive. You know, forgiveness, that, you know, for others and for ourselves. That's something which is quite hard to actually cope with, and we can practice that always more. And it's easy to blame others, but it's a bit more difficult to blame, you know, ourselves. And even more difficult is to forgive ourselves and for others. Because no one is perfect, so there are things, obviously, that there need to be justice, and those things need to be corrected. But on the other hand, you know, we are also here together, and we have to move on as well. So it doesn't help to be angry and frustrated and just keep the eyes on what's happening and how we're destroying the world. Because at the same time, we could also change things and do new things and build a better future as well. And unfortunately, the future doesn't become better if we do not make it better. So it means that we have to act. So this way, I think we could also consider that, you know, if we move forward and start to be creative and start to do actions which are positive. So what do you think? You take small steps to the direction which you feel are the correct ones are really making a difference. For example, take a bicycle, don't drive a car. Eat vegetables and these things. Just a little by little, you start to have a different habits and it starts to spread around. I know from my personal experience that happens. You know, I'm a vegan, and it's very uncomfortable for many people that I'm not eating meat and I'm not eating this or that, and you know, they feel it very cumbersome. But you know, after a while, you know, it seems that they start to also, you know, pick a bit more greens in their table that's how the change happens. It happens gradually and by small actions. But you know, if there's enough people doing these small things in their circles of influence, it will mean that the big change will happen. And this is the way the world changes. You know, it can happen rapidly when we have enough people doing these things and say no more. But it's important to direct this action to the positive and creative things, which are building the better future for ourselves. And I think the best way to do is this, that you also focus on yourself and focus to be more happy, to be more relaxed, be have more time for yourself and the loved ones. And so increasing your freedom and responsibility are the things which are, I think, the key for a better future.
Mm-hmm. Pay more attention to the message inside than the one that's coming from outside.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. I want to encourage folks to go to your website, fragmentsofreality.com, if they're interested in getting a copy of your book. We've talked about this in the past, and we're actually talking about many of the things that you describe in your writing, although it's maybe not as bland as I can make it during this conversation. You just get to right to the heart of the matter, and you do it through poetry and sort of a retrospective analysis without really the analyzing so much as just a very free-flowing form of, listen to the alliteration there, of consciousness that comes through when you step outside the box and look at your experience and put it to paper. It's something that anyone can apply in their own life, and your book is very inspirational in that sense. So, fragmentsofreality.com. And we're at the end of the month here. Hopefully, you'll come back and visit us again, and we can talk in more depth. Certainly brought out some passion from Christopher tonight.
Sounds good.
And hopefully, Christopher, we got rid of part of that elephant, maybe the trunk or the tail at least, and we'll work on the rest of it. Elephants never forget, so I'm sure the elephant doesn't want to be in the room either. So, Peter Kayander, thank you very much for being on the show, and I look forward to your next guest appearance on Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Don. It's been a pleasure.
And my greetings to all our mutual friends as well. So, I'm going to say goodnight to our listening audience. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and Peter Kayander. Please have a look at his book, Fragments of Reality, Daily Entries of Life Lived. And special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, Christopher for phoning in, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night for another great show. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.